ओके, हरे कृष्णा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are going to discuss the ninth verse, ninth text nine of the chapter four of Bhagavad Gita as it is. The verse has been written on the board, so we can recite together. Janma, karma, cha, me, divyam, evam, यो वेत्ति तत्त्वतः त्वक्ता देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेत्ति तत्त्वतः त्वक्ता देहं पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। जन्म कर्म च मे दिव्यम् एवं यो वेत्ति तत्त्वतः त्वक्ता देह पुनर्जन्म नैति मामेति सोऽर्जुन। Mataji's. Janma, birth. Karma, work. Cha, also. Me, of mine. Dibhyam, transcendental. Evam, like this. Yaha, anyone who. Veti, knows. Tatvataha, in reality. Taktva, leaving aside. Deham, this body. Punaha, again, janma, birth, na, never, eti, does attain, mam, unto me, eti, does attain, saha, he, Arjun, O Arjun. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Please repeat after me. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance and personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and the yogis attain the liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial. And there is the risk of returning to the material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activities of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is incomprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Eka Deva Nitta Lila Nurakto Bhaktya Vyapi Ridi Antar Atma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationships with his unalloyed devotees. The Vedic version is confirmed in the verse of the Gita personally, in the verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth and the strength of the authority of the Vedas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculation, attains the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth and faith, simply accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattam Asi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands that Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, you are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed in the following Vedic assertion. Tameva vidittvat mrittum eti nannat pantha vidate anaya. One who can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no other way to achieve this perfection. This is from Shvetashvatara Upanishad, that there is no alternative means that anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance, and consequently he will not attain salvation simply, so to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed-up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Janma karma chame divyam evam jo vetti tattvataha takta dehang punarjanma noiti mameti suarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take the birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So, this is the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Practically, the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. How many chapters does Bhagavad Gita have? 18 chapters. And this is the fourth chapter. The first chapter is describing the background, when and how Bhagavad Gita is being spoken, in what is the occasion, what is the situation. Krishna and Arjuna are present in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the battle of Kurukshetra is about to begin. At that time, Arjuna wanted to see who are standing on the enemy line, who he'll have to fight on the enemy side, who all are there. And there he sees his grandfather Bhishma, his guru Dronacharya, Kripacharya, his friend Ashwatthama, his uncle Shalva, his cousins Duryodhan and other 99 brothers. So seeing that, Arjuna became completely overwhelmed with emotion. And he told Krishna that, "Krishna, I can't fight this battle." But then, and Arjuna also gave various reasons why he should not fight this battle. There was personal consideration: how can I kill my gurus like Bhishma and Drona? How can I shoot arrows at them with an intention to kill them? How can I do that? They are my grandfather, they are my guru, spiritual master. And then he also gave other social consideration, why this battle is going to be very, very disastrous for the society. He mentioned, when all the senior members of the society will be gone, there won't be anyone to protect women, and as a result of that, there will be, the women will be exploited by men, by unscrupulous men, and there will be undesirable progeny, and the whole society will be doomed. In this way, he gave various reasons, both personal, emotional, and social. But finally, he submitted to Krishna. Said, "Krishna, I don't really know what to do. Please tell me what I should do. I'm accepting you as my spiritual master. I'm completely bewildered. I'm completely overwhelmed with ignorance and emotion. So please, you guide me. Please, you tell me." So when Arjuna accepted Krishna as a spiritual master, so to say, that means now Arjuna is ready to listen to Krishna. Then Krishna started to speak this wisdom of Bhagavad Gita. So in the second chapter, Krishna is describing the very basics of spiritual understanding. He actually began by chastising Arjuna. That Arjuna, you are speaking like a wise man, but you are in ignorance. You are speaking like a wise man, but you don't have any knowledge. You are lamenting over something that is temporary. And you don't have any understanding of the permanent. What is permanent? The soul is permanent and the body is temporary. So why lament over the temporary body? It's going to die in any case. Either today or after 20 years, it's going to die. But this battle is very important. You tried to, first of all, you tried to avoid these battles in so many ways. Pandavas didn't want this battle. But Duryodhan was absolutely determined to have the battle. Because he was completely convinced that he was going to win the battle. Because his side was much stronger than the Pandavas' side. And on top, besides that, the Pandavas were in exile for 12 years and 1 year they were hiding. Nobody could even recognize them. So after the 13 years of exile, then they come back, we can see what is their strength. They practically don't have anything. Whereas the Kauravas, Duryodhana's side, in the meantime, in this 13 years' time, they have accumulated an immense power and wealth and opulence. They conquered all the other kings of the world and brought them under their control. So that means in one hand the Kauravas have the entire world in their side and the Pandavas are just five brothers and with a few friends. That was their arrangement. So Duryodhan was completely convinced that he was going to win the battle. Many people tried to advise him not to get into the battle. Duryodhana's uncle Vidura had been constantly telling him, Dronacharya told him, Kripacharya told him, they're their superiors. Bhishma told him, Vasudev told him, Maitreya Rishi told him, so many well-wishers came to him and told him, don't fight, avoid this battle. Make friends with them, have a compromise, give them their share of their kingdom, and live peacefully. But Duryodhan, who is an epitome, who is a symbol of an intensely materialistic person, an extremely envious individual, he wanted the entire earth for himself. He was not at all interested in sharing it with the Pandavas. He was given the advice, Duryodhan, if you have this Pandavas in your side, then can you imagine how powerful you'll become? You're already powerful. But with this alliance with the Pandavas, you'll become even more powerful. So while you're fighting with them, make friends with them. Make compromise with them. But Duryodhan didn't want to take any good advice. Ultimately, Krishna himself went with a peace proposal. And what was the proposal? You don't have to give them half the kingdom. Just give them five villages. Even that Duryodhan gave. Not only that, what was Duryodhan's point at that time? That I won't give the piece of land the size of the tip of the needle, point of the needle. So that is the nature of a materialistic person. They simply want to enjoy everything for themselves and they do not want to give any opportunity to others, although they may be very, very qualified. So battle was all set. They all initially they tried to avoid the battle in so many ways. But it didn't work. So now the battle is inevitable. And now the Kaurava side is standing against the Pandavas in the battlefield. But Arjuna says, I'm not going to fight. He dropped his Gandiv, not only dropped, he was in such emotional state that Gandiv fell out of his hand. Gandiva Shangsrati Hastat. Shangsrati means slipping out of my hand. Bepathuscha Sharireme Roma Harshascha Jayate. My body is trembling. And the hairs are standing on end. Gandiva Shangsrati Hastat. Gandiva is slipping out of my hand. How am I going? I'm not going to be able to fight. But then Krishna actually started to advise Arjuna. And this advice that Krishna gave is Bhagavad Gita. What was the advice? The beginning of the advice is, Arjuna, your actual identity is not the body, but the soul. That is Krishna's first point. The body is only an external covering. Body is not the self. Body is only the covering of the self. Our actual identity is spiritual. And he gave advice on that. Then he pointed out about the nature. There are two natures, material nature and the spiritual nature. The souls are coming from the spiritual world. So the goal of life is to act in perfect harmony with the spiritual reality. And then in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised him about karma yoga. This was the first aspect of karma yoga, how one should act. We are in a material nature, a living entity is in the material nature. How should he act? The material nature has the demigods controlling different departments of the material nature, and human beings must live in harmony with the demigods. Like the demigods are the supplier and the human beings are the receiver, consumers. Demigods are the suppliers and human beings are the consumers. So what is the link between the supplier and consumer? The supplier supplies and the consumer pays the fees. Like for example, we are getting electricity supplied. There's a department that is supplying the electricity. Now, at the end of the month, what do we get? We get a bill, and we have to pay the bill. If we don't pay the bill, then what will happen? The supply will be cut. Now, if we want a continuous, uninterrupted supply, then what do we have to do? Pay the bill in time. So, similarly, in the universal affair, there are different departments. From those departments, we are getting different supplies. Supply of water, supply of rain, supply of wind, supply of sun rays, supply of moon rays. These are all essential things for our survival. And who is supplying? The demigods are supplying them. Therefore, we must pay the price to the demigods. Saha jagya praja srishta purabacho prajapati. So, this arrangement was made at the time of creation. Jagya, meaning paying the price to the departments that we are receiving the benefits from. So now the question may arise, then is Krishna promoting demigod worship? No. Krishna is actually establishing the proper standard of universal affair. Who are the demigods? Demigods are the agents of Krishna. And what is the jagya? Jagya is not the demigod worship. Jagya is paying the bill to the demigods. Now the departments get the money, get the payment, but what do they do? Do the departments utilize the money themselves? Huh? What do? They supply the money to the government. Right? So similarly, the demigods, what they get as an offering, as sacrifice from human beings, they actually offer it to Krishna. On behalf of Krishna, they receive and they ultimately offer it to Krishna. Anyway, that point will come later on. But I'm talking about the third chapter. So this is the standard which is called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means you act in such a way that your supplies are properly paid for. And then at the beginning of the fourth chapter, this chapter that we are discussing now, Krishna told Arjun that, Arjun, I gave this knowledge first to Vivashvan, the sun god. Then Vivashvan gave it to his son, Manu. Manu gave it to his son, Ikshaku. In this way, through a disciplic succession, this knowledge has been flowing in an uninterrupted way since time immemorial. So at that point, Arjun raised a very natural question to Krishna. The question was, Krishna, you are born just the other day. But Vivashan was here so many millions of years ago. So how can I understand that you gave this knowledge to Vivashvan? Aparang bhavato janma, parang janma vivashyataha, kathametad brijaniyan, tamado praktobaniti. Kathametad brijaniyan. How can I understand tamado praktobaniti that you told it to him? Now, here we have to consider one thing. The relationship between Krishna and Arjun is like two cousin brothers. They're cousins. Arjun's mother and Krishna's father are brother and sister. So, in that way they're of the same age. Therefore, they're intimate friends. They're cousin, they're friends. So Arjun's relationship with Krishna as like cousin brother. It's not Arjun until this point is not aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore he's asking, how can I understand that you gave knowledge to Krishna, to Vivashvan? So then Krishna started to tell him that, Arjun, many times you have appeared and I also have appeared. But about our bohuni me batitani janmani tavacharjuna. Bohuni, many times. Bohuni me batitani janmani tavacharjuna. Then many times you have taken birth and I also have appeared. But about those births, you don't remember anything, whereas I remember everything. So in this way, here Krishna is establishing his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Until that point, Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead hasn't been revealed. Now, Krishna's identity is being established in Bhagavad Gita. Now, who is Krishna? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how do we recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna himself is telling Arjun that, yes, Arjun, many, it's not that this is the only time you came and I came. We came many times before. But there's a difference between you and me. You do not remember about your previous births, whereas I remember everything. Then Krishna is pointing out that although I am unborn, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am not born. I don't take birth. But still, by taking advantage of my internal potency, Jogamaya, I appear. Not take birth, but I appear. That's the difference between a living entity's coming and Krishna's coming. Living entities come here being completely controlled by the modes and his own karma of this material nature, whereas Krishna comes out of his own sweet will. Ajopi san abhyatma, bhutanam isharopi san, prakritiṃ sham adhishthaya, sambhavami atma mayaya. Sambhavami. The word sambhavami means I manifest myself. I appear. Atma mayaya. Through my internal potency, Jogamaya. And then Krishna pointed out, as Prabhupada mentioned, that Krishna's appearance as the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been established in the sixth verse. This is the one, the sixth verse. Ajopi shan abhayatma bhutanam isharopi san prakritiṃ sham adhishthaya sambhavami atma mayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Krishna comes in his original transcendental form. By his internal potency. Then Krishna explains why he comes. Why does he have to come? Just like, does the king have to go to the prison? Does the king generally go to the prison? No. The king doesn't need to go to the prison. The prison is meant for who? The criminals. The king doesn't need to go to the prison. But can the king go to the prison? He can. Because he's the lord of the prison. He can go anytime he wants. But when the king goes to the prison, does he become a prisoner? Even though the king may dress up like a prisoner, still he remains the king. The king sometimes may dress up like a prisoner to teach the prisoners some lesson, to teach them how to get out of the prison house. Is it nice to be in the prison house? Is it desirable to be in the prison house? Therefore, everybody in the prison wants to get out of the prison. Similarly, this material nature is a prison house. Does anybody want to stay in the material nature in his right senses? So the question is how to get out of the prison house. So the king comes to teach how to get out of the prison house. How to get out of the prison house? Can you think of how to get out of the prison house? You can get out of the prison house in two ways. One is you can dig a tunnel out of the prison house and escape. There are many exciting stories about prison breaking. But that's not the right way to get out of the prison. Because you may get out of the prison, but you don't become free. You have to hide. The army, the police will be after you. And when they catch you, then you will again be put back into the prison. And then your term of sentence will be much more severe. So that is one way of getting out of the prison house. But that's not a desirable way of getting out of the prison house. What's the other way of getting out of the prison house? Beg forgiveness, beg pardon. Appeal to the king. My lord, I made a mistake, I'm so sorry, but I promise I won't break the law anymore. I'll be a good man. I'll completely abide by your law. So then the king may say, okay, release him. After all, the prison house is a place for reformation, rectification of one's attitude. So similarly, the material nature is a prison house. There are two ways you can get out. So you are in, if you realize that you are in a prison house, do you want to stay there? So you want to get out of the material nature. So this trying to get out of the material nature is called the desire for liberation. So people generally want to become liberated, especially when they suffer. Don't they? When they suffer, they want to become liberated because they want to get out of this suffering condition. They realize that this material nature is full of suffering. So why should we stay here? Let's get out of here. Now again, from the material nature also, you can get out in two ways. One is by digging a tunnel. But that's a very difficult and it's a negative way of getting out of the prison. Right? Those ways, the negative ways are trying to get out of the material nature through performing austerities, penances, and meditation, yoga, etc. But what is the positive way of getting out of the prison house? Of material nature? Surrendering to the King of Kings? Krishna. You surrender to Krishna, then you'll get out of this material nature. So in order to teach that, Krishna comes from time to time. Just to teach us, surrender unto me. Just as in Bhagavad Gita at the end we'll find, what is Krishna telling? Krishna is saying, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tan sarva papibhyo mokshayishyami masucha. Why we are suffering in the material nature? Due to our sinful activities. Due to our sinful activities, we are suffering in this material nature. Now Krishna is saying, you surrender unto me, I will eliminate all your sinful reactions. All your sinful reactions will be obliterated. So that means Krishna is showing us the way to surrender. That's why Krishna comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat. Dharma means laws given by Krishna. When people don't abide by the law given by Krishna, it creates a very, very critical situation in the society. When the law is broken, when there is no law and order, who all prosper? The miscreants. The wrongdoers prosper. When there is no law and order, then the good people suffer and bad people prosper. Right? So that is the situation of dharma saglani. So in order to, when there is no law and order, when the rampant disregard for law and order, then does the king have the responsibility to re-establish the law and order situation? That's why Krishna, the King of Kings, come to this material nature to establish the law and order. He comes from time to time. And then Krishna is giving us the way how to get out of the material nature. What is the bondage in this material nature? How we are bound in this material nature? We are bound in this material nature through the cycle of birth and death. Through birth, we appear and get entangled in the material nature, and then at the time of death, we leave the body and fall asleep. Death is like falling asleep. Then again, we wake up in another body. So this is how we are just going on and on and on in this material nature. Life after life after life through the cycle of birth and death. But Krishna here is telling that naiti mameti janma karma chame divyam evam javetti tattvatah takta deham punar janma. When he leaves his body, he doesn't have to take birth again. When one recognizes that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are divine. Janma karma cha me divyam. Divyam means divine. What is divine? Krishna's janma, Krishna's appearance. Krishna's janma is divine. Krishna can come in any way. Sometimes he can take birth. Sometimes he can come directly from the spiritual sky. Sometimes he can come in a very, very amazing, very strange way. Like once he came out from the nostril of Brahma, Barahadev. Once he came out of a pillar, Nrisingadev. In this way, Krishna can come from nowhere. Sometimes while Krishna was saving the Gajendra, how did he come? He came flying on the Garuda. So Krishna can come in so many different ways. But sometimes Krishna can also take birth. Like as Ramchandra he took birth, Vamandev he took birth. And here as Krishna he took birth, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he took birth. So it may appear that Krishna is born, but that birth of Krishna is not birth. That is Krishna's divine appearance. Divyam. So when we understand that Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are divine, what does it actually mean? It means when we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you simply understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we become free from the cycle of birth and death. Becoming free from cycle of birth and death means what? It means going back to Krishna's spiritual world. Takta dehang punarjanma naiti mam eti. Mam eti. He attains my nature. What is Krishna's nature? The spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is no birth, no death. Jad gatvana nivartante stadhama paramam mamo. When one goes to the spiritual sky, he doesn't have to come back again. So in this verse, Krishna is actually giving us a very simple way of getting out of this material nature. Do you want to get out of the material nature? How many of you want to, really want to get out of the material? So what are you going to do now? Dig a tunnel? Across the out of the prison house? Or surrender unto Krishna? Why surrender to Krishna? Because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do we know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because janma karma chame divyam. Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities are divyam. Is our birth divyam? Is our activities divyam? No. So that's the difference between us and Krishna. So in this way, when we recognize Krishna's spiritual identity and we surrender unto him, then we become eligible to go back to the spiritual sky and never return to this material nature. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes. Not only 16, 24 hours. But actually it's true. If we chant 16 rounds, Prabhupada did say that if we chant 16 rounds following the four regulative principles, at the end of this life we'll go back to Godhead. If you believe in Krishna, then you have to believe in his words. Right? And what is Krishna's words when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chant Hare Krishna. So chant Hare Krishna. So at the time of death, if we chant Hare Krishna, yes, we'll go back. Does it answer your question? Thank you. Any other question? Yes. I don't know who told you, and I don't know what's his authority, but I never heard Prabhupada saying that. Anyway, don't get into all that. So many people will say so many. Why only four regulative principles only? Krishna says, sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo. So this Krishna says only pertaining to four regulative principles. But in a way you can say that all the sinful activities are related to the four regulative principles. Anyway, yes, what's your question? Faith and mode of nature. What do you mean? It's a very, very broad question. Okay, let me see. Well, faith means the understanding that Krishna is God. The absolute conviction that Krishna is God, and if I serve Krishna, then all my duties will be performed. Right? That is the bottom line of the word faith. Right? And the modes of material nature are the arrangements with which the living entities are tied down to this material nature. So the modes of material nature are meant to tie the living entities down to this material nature. The Sanskrit word for modes is guna. Guna literally means rope. Just as with a rope, a prisoner is tied down. Living entities are tied down to the material nature through the rope. And when we surrender to Krishna, then we learn to transform these modes into serving Krishna. So then these modes also become transcendent. So you get the point. The faith and modes are related in this way. The faith is Krishna is God. Modes are the arrangement with which I am being controlled. Now I am being controlled in a certain way. So in whichever way I am being controlled, if I serve Krishna, then the way I am being controlled is becoming transformed into spiritual. Thank you. Yeah. Did Prabhupada ever say that? That before you go back to Krishna, you have to take birth in a Brahmana family? Well, yeah, okay, I get the point. So that may be a consideration, but Prabhupada also said that there is many ways that Krishna can take a living entity back to him. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he wants, he can take you directly. But the one understanding is there that before one goes back to Krishna's pastimes in Golok Vrindavan, one actually gets an opportunity to take part in Krishna's activities, Krishna's pastimes in the earthly planet, in the earth planet. So that is one way of entering into Krishna's pastimes. In that, Prabhupada actually said in relation to the gopis who could not go to Krishna when Krishna called them by playing his flute. Krishna played his flute and called the gopis. All the gopis left. No matter whatever they were doing, they dropped all their service, all what they were doing, and they just went to Krishna. But some gopis, husbands and family members, locked them up from outside. So they couldn't leave. So because they couldn't go to Krishna, when Krishna called, they gave up their body and in their... So this is how they achieve the spiritual perfection. So in that respect, Prabhupada said that sometimes a devotee, in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes, have to take birth in a family of the gopas, residents of Vrindavan, where Krishna's pastimes are going on. This is how they get a chance to enter into Krishna's pastimes. And whatever rough edges, whatever polishing is needed, is done, and they become completely qualified to enter into Krishna's pastimes in spiritual sky. But one can also go directly. That is also possible. Yes, how one will go is up to Krishna. Don't worry about it. Because you cannot go back to Godhead. Only Krishna can take you back to Godhead. So leave it up to Krishna. Okay. Therefore, our prayer is Mama Janmani Janmani Shari. My Lord, please allow me to serve you life after life. I'm ready to hear that. Okay, go ahead. Then at the end of that, Krishna is saying, Jajjad Vibhuti Mat Sattam. Ebam Urjitam Ebaba. Wherever you see any greatness, recognize that this is my manifestation. Mama Tejangsa Sambhava. It's just a partial manifestation of my opulence. So this is a way Krishna is saying, this is a way to see Krishna. Right? We may not be able to see Krishna, but there is something that creates awe in us. We become struck with wonder. We naturally develop appreciation. So in those situations, we have to see that these are just manifestations of Krishna's opulence. Okay. Hare Krishna. Yes. What would be the police mark for those people who are trying to come to the law? This question I'm asking because Sarkozy Maharaj, the elder minister, the senior, is claiming himself as God. His followers are 7 days. His followers are? 7 days. What philosophy? Tell them to read Bhagavad Gita. Krishna showed the universal form. Krishna showed the universal form. Right? But then what was Arjuna's reaction? Oh, this is terrible. I don't want to see it. Krishna, please show me your forearm form. Because that I want to see that form of yours in which your identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is clear. This universal form is a destructive form. Ultimately, what is happening? Everything is manifested from the universal form, and everything is annihilated in the universal form. Can you imagine? Like all the living entities are entering into Krishna's that mouth of the universal form. Everyone is dying in that universal form. How does it look like? Therefore, Arjuna's reaction is, I can't bear to see this form of yours. So, Krishna showed his forearm form. So, which form is more important? The forearm form is more important than the universal form. Then what did Krishna do? Transformed into two-arm form. And Krishna says, that only out of very good, exceptional good fortune one can see me in this form. So should you take Krishna's words or some nonsense word? Anyway, those people are bringing these questions, tell them to go wherever they want to go. Huh? In the age of Kali, there are all kinds of nonsense people who will claim that they are God. One God is already dead, so another God is born. So, in the age of Kali, there is nothing to be surprised about. So don't worry about them. Just you carry on with your practicing of Krishna consciousness and preaching. Okay? Madhavendra? Yeah. Okay. You see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is a hidden appearance. In this age, in the age of Kali, Krishna comes as a devotee. Now, if you get to know that, oh, that person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will you be able to treat him as a devotee? Huh? Will he be able to hide his identity? So Krishna comes hiding his identity in this age. Therefore, there is not so much description of Krishna's appearance in this as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age. But there are, like for example, Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto is describing Krishna Varnam Tishak Krishnam Sangha Pangastra Parshadam Jaggai Sankirtana Prayoir Jajantihi Sumedhasaha. After that, Bhagavatam also is describing Mahabharata. I mean, Mahabharata is describing this verse, but I am just trying to. Takta Sudustaja Surepshita Rajya Lakshmi Dharmishta Arja Vachesha Jadagad Arannam Mayam Mritamrigam Doito Shamanya Dhavad Bande Mahapurushate Chavacharanaravindam. This is also another description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahabharata is describing Suvarna Varna Hemanga Varangas Chandanangadi Shannashakrit Chamoshanta Nishtha Shanti Parayana. So these are, although his identity is hidden, but in some places, in a kind of covered way, this description is there. These descriptions are there. And on top of everything, we have to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead through a devotee of the Lord. Like for example, did you know that Krishna is God? How did you find out? Due to Prabhupada's teachings. So through devotee only you can recognize the Supreme Personality of God. Yeah, he comes only, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes once in a day of Brahma. Once in a day of Brahma, Krishna comes. There are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. The seventh Manu is Vaivarshata Manu. So in that Manantar, Vaivarshata Manantar, in the Ashtavingsha Chaturyuga, in a reign of Manu, there are 71 Chaturyugas. Out of that 71 Chaturyugas, the 28th Chaturyuga, in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes. And in the following Kali Yuga, Krishna appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he establishes Sankirtan Yajna. Yes. Not each kalpa. Only in this particular millennium. 28th millennium of Vaivarshata Manantar in a day of Brahma. That means out of 1,000 Chatur Yugas, once only Krishna comes in Dwapar Yuga. And the following Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. And this is that Chatur Yuga. Can you imagine our good fortune? Can you imagine your good fortune? Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop now. Oh, you have a question? Go ahead. How you become? Yeah, it is affected because the soul is thinking that he is the body, and whatever is happening to the body, soul is thinking it's happening to him. You get it? When you think that you are the body, then when something happens to you, what do you think? If I come and slap your body, how will you feel? You'll feel pain. Who will feel the pain? Because the soul's consciousness is flowing through the body, yes, the soul is experiencing that. The self will experience that. But if you're sleeping, say a mosquito is biting, how do you feel? You know, when a mosquito comes and bites you, how do you feel? No, not sleep. When you're awake. Okay, you feel hurt. But when you are sleeping, do you feel that?
No.
Yeah, why not?
Because it's the consciousness.
Very good. Because your consciousness is not in the body. So it is when the consciousness is in the body, whatever is happening to the body, we get affected by that. But when the consciousness is withdrawn from the body, we don't feel that. Like after the body dies, the soul will leave. The body will have consciousness? No. No. And then, if the body is burnt, will the soul feel that?
No.
Two more questions. Okay, go ahead. You see, to a sun god, what Krishna gave is karma yoga, not the entire Bhagavad Gita. He gave one aspect of Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga. That's what he gave to sun god. But what he gave to Arjuna is the total spiritual wisdom. Advaita. Okay. Advaita Achyutam in the purport, Prabhupada is saying. Advaita is also positive. There is no duality. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, his incarnations are non-different from him. He is one. Although he expands himself into many forms, does he become many? He remains one. So that is the Advaita. Advaitam. And Achyutam, they are infallible. The incarnations are infallible. So Krishna is infallible. Krishna's incarnations are infallible. But living entities are fallible. Okay, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Thank you.